And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is only made possible by our good friends over at the Law Group, Melissa Gott, and the folks there. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. And of course, our great patrons, I should say, that support the program over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can support the show, get access to bonus content and more. All of that available, $5, $10 a month, patreon.com/Nick Craig. I'm going to be honest, folks. I included this in my morning line email this morning that goes out at 6:30. It's available completely free of charge over at nickcraig.com. I have not seen a political story in North Carolina take off like the one that we covered yesterday on the show and the one that has exploded over the last couple of days. This being the August the 22nd gruesome, horrific murder of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee here in North Carolina. For those that maybe have been living under a rock and not following this story very closely, just to recap quickly how we got here. 23-year-old Irena Zaruski, back on August the 22nd, left her job at a pizzeria that she works at in Charlotte, jumped on the Charlotte light rail, and after sitting on the train for a little over 4 minutes, was brutally murdered by DeCarlos Brown Jr., a 34-year-old homeless man riding the train without a ticket with a lengthy criminal rap sheet, including several prior convictions, armed robbery, felony larceny, breaking and entering, shoplifting. The list goes on and on and on. Now, it's interesting. This happened 18 days ago, back on August the 22nd. And there's, of course, been some coverage in North Carolina for those that listen to the Carolina Journal News Hour, the 5 a.m. radio show I do over on WBT in Charlotte. There's been some discussion, been some conversation there as it's a big local story. But after the surveillance video was released on Friday, which was provided and really brought to the public by WBTV, this story got an unbelievable amount of national attention. And that national attention, you know, is continuing this morning as we heard President Donald Trump comment on the situation on Sunday and yesterday, a story that, yes, got a lot of national news, really exploded as this surveillance video. You can see the killer here pulling a switchblade out of his pocket before, and the video cuts off, stabbing this 23-year-old three times in the neck, murdering and killing her for absolutely no explainable reason on the Charlotte light rail back on August the 22nd. And I guess I would say it's probably a situation where, because there is video available and you can see the moment in which this horrific situation unfolded, is why it has garnered so much national attention. And I'll say this before we get into the new reaction this morning, including Democrat Governor Josh Stein, Democrat Mayor Vi Lyles, who has released an unbelievably stupid statement in the days following this attack. This is a situation that proves that the American public is fed up with the Democrat Party and their soft-on-crime policies. Plain and simple. I talked about this yesterday on the show. If you missed yesterday's podcast, I'd encourage you. We'll cover some of the same ground, but encourage you to go check that out in your favorite podcast apps or on YouTube or Rumble. This is a completely, and this was a completely avoidable situation. And I think that's what makes it so tough to work through and talk about and try and, you try and rationalize the irrational. This is completely avoidable. This was not a situation where you have a guy or a girl that just, you know, all of a sudden they fall off the wagon, a couple of screws loose, and they decided to commit some heinous act of violence. That's not the case here in Charlotte. This was a longtime repeat offender criminal that, because Charlotte, which has for a period of time had cashless bail, which of course, as we've seen all of these other major Democrat progressive hellholes across the United States, that their policy of cashless bail allowed this individual back out on the streets, apparently as early as January of this year, when once again he was arrested, charged, and because of cashless bail, and in an attempt to be compassionate to the homeless, in an attempt to be compassionate to criminals, in an attempt to be compassionate to those that are struggling from so-called mental health issues, this guy was allowed back out on the streets to continue to perpetrate more violence. And it all came to a conclusion in a terrible situation that unfolded on August the 22nd, where for whatever reason, he decided that he was going to murder this 23-year-old woman for absolutely no reason. And really, I think this is why you are seeing the national attention really start to pile up on the Democrat Party, because this is something that could have been stopped. And I'm going to start off this morning with another tone-deaf response from a Democrat, which is no surprise here, folks. Let me just drop the veil for a second and let's take a look at this thing. This story paints the Democrat Party and their soft-on-crime policies in the absolute worst light possible. There is no defense of their ridiculously stupid, soft-on-crime policies when you watch this story unfold. And it's why, up until just the last couple of days, nobody was talking about this outside of conservative media outlets in the Charlotte metro area. This murder happened 18 days ago. But now that Trump is involved in this, now that you've got members of Congress involved, cabinet members, we'll hear from the Secretary of Transportation and Sean Duffy coming up a little bit later on. He was on Sean Hannity's program last night. Now that everybody is talking about it, as I glance over at Fox News this morning, the headline on the Chyron right now, NC murder suspect had at least 14 prior arrests. It's being talked about on CNN right now as well. This is blown up. It's a huge national story. And so now you've got Democrats that support these policies. They support cashless bail. They support individuals committing crimes getting immediately back out on the streets. They support so-called compassionate projects to help individuals clean up their lives. And it's putting them in a very, very tough political position. As I mentioned yesterday morning, and I'll reiterate again, why are these soft-on-crime policies so prominent? Why are we seeing a rise to this in many Democrat places across the country, and more predominantly this morning, the Charlotte metropolitan area? All of this is in an attempt to try and win over radical progressive Democrats and convince them that you, being the people that are passing these policies, that you are a good progressive, therefore you are worthy of a vote. That's all this is about. It is a race to the bottom on who can be further to the left, who can have the more ridiculous, radical policies on the left. That's this entire situation. That's this entire story pretty well wrapped up here. And so what I'm about to show you and read to you is the mayor, or the comments from Democrat Governor Josh Stein. Incredibly tone deaf. Take a listen to this. Quote, "I am heartbroken for the family of Irina Zaruska, who lost their loved one to this senseless act of violence, and I am appalled by the footage of her murder. We need more cops on the beat to keep people safe. That's why my budget calls for more funding to hire more well-trained police officers. I call upon the legislature to pass my law enforcement recruitment and retention package to address vacancies in our state and local agencies so they can stop these horrific crimes and hold violent criminals accountable." I don't know who the hell is giving Josh Stein advice. I know the political machine that is operating behind him. These people are completely out of touch with reality. Newsflash to Governor Josh Stein, who, for anybody that wants to tell you to the other rise, is a radical progressive. He may come off as a nice guy. It's the same trick and pony show with Roy Cooper. They try and portray themselves as moderate, try and portray themselves as the everyman elected official. Nonsense. Josh Stein and Roy Cooper are two peas in a pod. They are radical progressive Democrats. hey, Josh, you did have law enforcement that did their job. They arrested this scumbag, this mentally ill lunatic, 14 freaking times. This was not a failure of law enforcement. This was not a failure of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. This was a failure of your judicial system, Josh. You were the attorney general for, what, 8 years? This is a failure of the judicial system in North Carolina. This is a failure of elected Democrats in the Charlotte on the Charlotte City Council, the Mecklenburg County Commission, and I will even put the blame here on the voters of Charlotte in Mecklenburg County that have allowed these soft on crime policies to continue to appear in the ballot box every 2 or 4 years and continue to elect these horrifically terrible elected officials. This was not a situation where the police needed to be called and there was no one there. More enforcement would have stopped this. This scumbag should have been behind bars. But again, in an attempt to be compassionate, in an attempt to hope and just wish and pray that somebody that is struggling from a severe mental problem, allegedly, will just clean their lives up and isn't going to be a drag on society, in an attempt to just assume these problems will fix themselves, Democrats were lenient. And their leniency allowed this 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee to be murdered. And of course, the irony in all of this, for those on the political left, as these are the folks that are always talking about how we need to do everything in our power and spend hundreds of billions of dollars supporting Ukraine, yet mum is the word from them when a 23-year-old refugee leaving her war-torn country comes to the United States and is murdered by a psychopath on a train or a light rail car in a predominantly Democrat-controlled city, which is exactly what Charlotte and the greater Mecklenburg County area is. Exclusive control of Democrats. We'll hear from Edwin Peacock, who is a member of the Charlotte City Council, one of the lone Republicans there, outnumbered, like you see in case in point here in the city of Wilmington, where just a month ago they kicked the can down the road on the homeless problem. There is a city council meeting coming up tonight, and I would imagine that this story out of Charlotte hopefully would be enough for the Democrats, including Celette Andrews, Tim Joyner, Kevin Spears, Clifford Barnett, and Mayor Bill Sappho to get their head out of their ass and vote on this resolution so that with the Wilmington Police Department, with the new chief coming on board, has all of the tools that they need, all the resources they need to get the job done. Hopefully this will be a turning point for them. But for Josh Stein to say that if more cops were on the beat, that this situation wouldn't have happened is absurd. This is not a law enforcement problem. And he masquerades this into some sort of a situation where if the General Assembly passed his budget, which, by the way, as the governor, he doesn't get to write a budget. He has no immediate decision-making authority on the budget process in North Carolina. All he can or cannot do is decide whether he is going to sign a budget or not sign a budget into law. That is the extent that Josh Stein has and the ability that he has as the governor of North Carolina for him to claim that he recommended or he's going forward with a budget and it's not being done and not being taken out by these evil, awful, terrible Republicans just goes to show you the tone-deaf nature of people like Josh Stein. And so I found this interesting clip that's now making its way around social media. This was Governor Josh Stein when he was the attorney general here in North Carolina talking about racial equity in the criminal justice system, which is exactly what has allowed a situation like this to unfold. So let's ignore some of the more recent comments from Governor Josh Stein. Let's go back a couple of years and see what he had to say in the past. Here's the former AG, now governor.
We have to make North Carolina a safe place for every person, no matter who you are. The Task Force for Racial Equity and Criminal Justice will consider and implement measures that can bring about meaningful change to the criminal justice system. We will review law enforcement recruitment, training, and accountability, as well as court issues, including pretrial release and the use of fines and fees. We will identify ways to build genuine trust between law enforcement and the communities they serve and protect. This is absolutely necessary today, just as it was in 1829 when Sir Robert Peel, the founder of modern policing, wrote, "The power of the police to fulfill their functions and duties is dependent on public approval of their existence, actions, and behavior, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect." North Carolina has a tragic legacy of slavery, segregation, and racist violence that still...
Okay, I'll continue. I'll roll that back. For anybody that wants to tell you that Josh Stein is not a radical progressive Democrat, this clip is example number one of what he really thinks and what he really believes. So because of slavery in the past, North Carolina needs to allow dangerous, violent criminals on the street. Okay, Josh, I'm tracking. That makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, right?
Maintain public respect. North Carolina has a tragic legacy of slavery, segregation, and racist violence that still affects our state to this day. But we have another inspiring legacy. The 1960 sit-ins in Greensboro and the hundreds of protests since, a state NAACP that filed more integration lawsuits than any other, a demonstrated willingness to adopt criminal justice reforms, and so much more. I truly believe our state can be a leader in identifying and overcoming systemic racism in our criminal justice system. And I am genuinely hopeful that this time is different. The protests have been more widespread, more persistent, and more diverse. Allies of all races are joining with Black people to say no more. This movement is generating energy that you can feel, and this task force must ensure that this energy is harnessed into meaningful and lasting change to help us heal, because Black lives matter.
Well, there you go, folks. There you go. There's our great, illustrious governor when he was the Attorney General of North Carolina. So in an attempt to fix and pave over all of the ill wills of America's past, which, of course, as you are well aware, as you're told by those on the left, America is the most evil, awful society that has ever existed in human history, and all of the woes of the past must be burdened by current living individuals. So in an attempt to that, we are going to pass all of these criminal justice reforms that allowed this 34-year-old individual by the name of DeCarlos Brown Jr., to go out on the street and to murder a 23-year-old from Ukraine who was minding her own business, just trying to get home from work. So congratulations, Josh Stein. I'm glad you were able to stand with Black Lives Matter. I'm glad you were able to stand with the protesters and pass your sweeping criminal justice reform across the across the state of North Carolina. Here is the end result of it. Congratulations. So when he releases this statement yesterday about how the solution is more police, notice how he is suspiciously quiet about the criminal justice system. Notice how he is suspiciously quiet about cashless bail, about pre-release of dangerous hardened criminals. Doesn't have a word to say about that. This story out of Charlotte is putting an immense amount of pressure on Democrats all across the board, not only here in North Carolina, but across the nation. And a large part of it has to do with the fact that the video is public and that everyday folks scrolling on social media can click on links and are seeing this in their feed, pointing to the abysmal failures of the Democrat Party, pointing to their failed policies that allow cities once that were incredibly prosperous. Charlotte is like, what, the 14th largest city in the United States? A very prosperous city, one of the banking capitals of the country, finance capitals of our country, fallen into criminality and disrepair at the hands of people like Democrat Mayor Vi Lyles, former Attorney General, now Governor Josh Stein, and Republicans all over the board, including former Governor Roy Cooper, who was standing right along Josh Stein, championing all of these so-called changes on. So here are your changes manifested. Are you satisfied with the result? I'm not. I'm sure as hell not. I'm sure the family of the 23-year-old woman murdered, I'm sure they're not happy with the end result. Because this is what it is. This is what you guys have wanted to play out. In an attempt to wrong the previous, to right the previous wrongs, you are allowing dangerous, hardened criminals to roam the streets of every single city across North Carolina. And for what? To get a pat on the back from those on the progressive left? That's what it's worth? Her death, her life is worth some cheers and some nice Twitter posts from radical progressive Democrats? That's all you're getting from this. There's no meaningful difference with so-called criminal justice reform. None. But you can get a pat on the back as a good progressive. You won't have to sit and deal with the fire that is constantly burning on the far left side of the political aisle. You won't become a target of them if you say these nice things. You won't become a target of them if you say that you stand with Black Lives Matter. Great. What about her life? Yeah, great. Black Lives Matter all the time, right? Absolutely, Josh Stein. What about Irina Zaruska's life? But that doesn't matter. The 23-year-old white woman from Ukraine, her life, I guess that doesn't matter because it doesn't fit at a political agenda, right? It doesn't fit a political narrative of systemic racism that has existed in the past. So because of racism in the past, now we allow criminals to roam the streets of North Carolina? Is there any logic to that at all? Does that make any sense to you at all? The answer is abundantly clear. It's unequivocally no. Makes absolutely no sense at all. But this is what Democrats have to answer for. They have allowed these policies to get completely hijacked by the progressive left. It's never enough. We always have to push further and further and further to the left on this stuff. It's never enough. And this is the end result. This is it played out in its final form. Dangerous, hardened criminals get to roam your neighborhoods, your cities, your streets, and put you and your family at risk. Does that make you feel safer in Charlotte, North Carolina? Does that make you feel safer here in Wilmington or any other city across our state or really across the country? I don't know of anybody that's saying that or thinks that. But that's what the former attorney general, now turned governor, had to say. Remarkable. His tone-deaf statement yesterday just proves that Democrats cannot answer for their own failed policies. Because if they could, well, then you'd begin to see a change. And we are starting to see a change. The mayor of Charlotte, in Vi Lyles, has done a complete 180 on this situation. Before I get into her comments from yesterday, I'd like to read you her part of her original statement after this horrific murder took place. Quote, "This is a tragic situation that sheds light on the problems with society's safety nets related to mental health care and the systems that should be in place. As we come to understand what happened and why, we must look at the entire situation. While I don't know the specifics of the man's medical records, what I have come to understand is that he has long struggled with mental health and appears to have suffered a crisis. This was an unfortunate and tragic outcome." That was the immediate response from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles in the days after this murder in Charlotte. Now, the reason I said she did a complete and total 180 is because of what she released yesterday. This is reading directly from her X account. "As I reflect on the tragic murder of Irina Zaruska, my heart continues to go out to her family and our community as we try and make sense of this horrific and senseless loss. Over the past several weeks, our community has worked to understand this. What we know is that this was a tragic failure by the courts and magistrates. Our police officers arrest people only to have them quickly released, which undermines our ability to protect our community and ensure safety. We need a bipartisan solution to address repeat offenders who do not face consequences for their actions and those who cannot get treatment for their mental illness and are allowed to be on the streets. We have partnered before on legislation like North Carolina's Pre-Trial Integrity Act, and we stand ready to partner again at the local, state, and federal level. She goes on in this statement to talk about cats and some of the increased security, but boy, you talk about a complete change in rhetoric there. Just less than 2 weeks ago, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyle's whole commentary was about how the individual who murdered this 23-year-old girl, he was in crisis. I don't know what the hell that even means. And I might argue the crisis might be the 23-year-old girl getting murdered, not some guy's schizophrenic past. But that was her whole original commentary on the murder. Mental health and wraparound services and compassion and a crisis event taking place. And we don't know the full story. We can't arrest our way out of the problem. Those were some of the comments from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyle's. But as this has picked up so much national attention, as the political pressure is mounting and growing, as it should be, on elected officials throughout the Charlotte area, this is a remarkable change in commentary. Saying, quote, a tragic failure by the courts and magistrates. Sounds like something a Republican would say. That doesn't sound like commentary from a Democrat. That doesn't sound like commentary, even just in the past couple of weeks, from Mayor Vi Lyle's. Now, it is important to note that she has an election later this year. Primary day is actually today in Charlotte. She's running against a bunch of other Democrats. She'll likely easily skirt right through the primary. But her name and her record is on the ballot in just a couple of months, coming up in early November of this year. And so this statement to me has nothing to do with actually solving the problem in Charlotte. To me, this story has nothing to do with making the light rail system or any part of the Queen City a safe place to live or be. This has everything to do with trying to save her own ass and make sure that she is successful in winning her election in November. I mean, I can't look at this statement and think anything else. Based on what she has said in the past, based on her initial comments after this murder, she didn't care. She didn't have any comments to say about how horrific it is that people can't travel on public transit without the risk and thought that they might get stabbed in the throat three times. Nothing. It's all about mental health and care and compassion and a bunch of other ridiculous progressive dog whistles. And so when I read this statement, I ask myself, critically thinking, what has changed? Well, we know it's changed. You've got people all over the country. You've got people all over the United States honing in on Charlotte, setting their sights on the failed policies of people like Mayor Vi Lyle's, and she is doing anything that she can to try and save her record. She will say or do anything to make sure that she gets reelected in November of this year. And so now, publicly, she releases this statement, and she's changing her tune on this whole story. Now it's a failure of the courts, and we need bipartisan solutions. You don't need bipartisan solutions to solve this problem. You just need to enforce the freaking laws that are on the books. You don't have to run up to Raleigh to solve this problem. You don't have to pass an ordinance. You just have to enforce laws that exist. You need to stop encouraging soft-on-crime policies. You need to stop encouraging the judiciary to allow hardened criminals to be caught and released on a consistent basis. There's no bipartisan work that needs to be done here. This is nothing more than a political attempt to get reelected. And that's a real shame. That's a really unfortunate situation. Because things do need to change in Charlotte. Things do need to change in these major Democrat cities across the country. Getting some commentary in this morning, Bruce is commenting and says, so do elections matter? Who elected these judges who let violent criminals out or don't prosecute teen gang murderers as an adult? When will this city electorate wake up? Do they not want law enforcement with real consequences? Bruce, I couldn't agree any more with you. And the unfortunate answer to your question is no, the folks in those cities have not yet woken up to the reality. And it's unfortunate that it takes an innocent woman escaping her war-torn homeland of Ukraine to get brutally murdered by a homeless lunatic on a Charlotte light rail train system. It's unfortunate that that situation has to unfold for people to begin critically asking questions of their elected officials. That's nothing new. I'm not telling you anything earth-shattering this morning. This is the unfortunate reality of our political system. Unless things are bad enough, unless there is many times bloodshed, things just don't change. We know that there's problems. Those on the right side of the political aisle, we've been talking about this stuff for the better part of a decade. We've been talking about how when you allow criminals to not be held accountable for their actions, when you allow repeat offenders out of jail without nothing more than a slap on the wrist, they will continue to commit crimes. This is not a new discussion for us, folks. For anybody that's been following me for any significant period of time, this has been a consistent conversation. Everybody on the right knows this stuff doesn't work. But now, with President Trump in the driver's seat, cracking down on crime in the District of Columbia, threatening to send National Guard to cities like Chicago and other deep blue areas where, of course, crime runs amok, where criminals are not held responsible or accountable for their actions. It's an unfortunate reality, but Trump is leading this. And I think part of the reason that you're seeing so much of this outcry, part of the reason that you are seeing so much emphasis on this story in Charlotte is because you've got Republicans in Congress. We'll hear from Congressman Tim Moore. He spoke on the House floor last night. You've got members of Congress and you've got the president that are saying enough is enough and forcing the American public to open their damn eyes and see what these policies result in, which is lawlessness and death and destruction of communities. It's a shame. And so will people wake up? Charlotte's a tough nut to crack. It is a deep blue city, folks. You look at the voter makeup, the electoral makeup of the body of the city of Charlotte. It is a deep blue area. And so pretty much what you're doing is trying to, what you're vying for is people to be less progressive. It is a very, very tough place for Republicans to get elected. And the unfortunate reality of this situation is the national temperature will die down over the next probably just couple of days. You'll stop seeing it on the news networks every hour. And it will be another story that kind of goes by the wayside. And so when I read these comments from Mayor Vi Lyles, when I read the stupid comment from Josh Stein, I don't know who the hell's advising him to release that. It's an unfortunate situation, but I'm glad these folks are having to face the music on this and answer for their destructive policies. We'll hear from President Donald Trump. He did comment on this yesterday as well. We'll hear from Congressman Tim Moore, Sean Duffy, a Democrat in Chicago. Some very interesting commentary there. Plus, we'll get some more of your comments as well as we roll on this Tuesday morning. Before we continue, our show's only possible thanks to our great advertisers like the Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the Law Group here in Wilmington. For over 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you need help estate planning or any other legal challenges, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures that your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their great website at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call for any legal challenges, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. Can't thank you, the Law Group, enough and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. More on this horrific situation in Charlotte coming up, plus your comments as well, as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for sticking with us on the Nick Craig Show. If you are interested in getting some additional content and supporting the show, if you believe that you are getting some value, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig and support the show financially, as we are a crowdfunded and advertiser-funded operation. No corporate media outlet backing us here. patreon.com/Nick Craig, $5, $10 a month. You can also set a custom amount, as some of our Patreon members do. Can't thank them enough for their continued support and allowing me to continue to do this show each and every weekday morning. patreon.com/Nick Craig, or head on over to nickcraig.com. We are continuing our coverage on what has been, and as I noted in my morning email and talked about earlier, a story here in North Carolina out of Charlotte. I don't remember the last time a story in North Carolina got this much national attention. As I was kind of thinking back and racking my brain, maybe HB2, the original bathroom bill during the McCrory administration, that got a lot of big national attention. That might be the last time a North Carolina story has got this much play and this much coverage, with national folks jumping in, the president commenting on it. It's been over a decade since a situation like that has taken place. And it's unfortunate that our great state, which has been ranked consistently number one in the country for business and has had so many great successes over the last 10 or 15 years, is in the news for failed Democrat policies out of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area. President Donald Trump chiming in on this yesterday. He was speaking at the Museum of the Bible to faith groups in D.C. yesterday. He had this to say about the situation.
In Charlotte, by a madman, a lunatic, just got up and started. It's right on the tape. Not really watchable because it's so horrible, but just viciously stabbed. She's just sitting there. So they're evil people. We have to be able to handle that. If we don't handle that, we don't have a country.
President Trump talking about evil people, then transitioning over to a post on Truth Social saying, quote, "I have seen the horrific video of a beautiful young Ukrainian refugee who came to America to escape the vicious war in Ukraine and was innocently riding the metro in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she was brutally ambushed by a mentally deranged lunatic. The perpetrator was a well-known career criminal who had previously been arrested and released on cashless bail in January a total of 14 times. What the hell was he doing riding the train and walking the streets? Criminals like this need to be locked up. The blood of this innocent woman can literally be seen dripping from the killer's knife, and now her blood is on the hands of the Democrats who refuse to put bad people in jail, including former disgraced governor and wannabe Senator Roy Cooper. North Carolina and every state needs law and order, and only Republicans will deliver it. Additionally, where is the outrage from the mainstream media on this horrible tragedy? Vote for Michael Whatley for United States Senate. He won't let this happen again." And the president, of course, pointing out some of these failed Democrat policies and really highlighting in on the mainstream media on this. And he's 100% right. They have been forced to talk about this, at least in some limited aspects. But again, this happened 18 days ago. But folks, look at the picture. There's a reason this wasn't in the media. It doesn't fit the narrative. It wasn't a white guy killing a black guy. Doesn't fit the narrative. Well, there's no gun control argument here. There's no way to turn this into a political win for those on the left. So they're completely silent when you've got a black guy murdering a 23-year-old white woman on a train in Charlotte. Plain and simple. It doesn't fit the narrative, so they don't talk about it. It doesn't fit any sort of political agenda, any political football that they can move down the field, so mum is the word. Now, they've been forced into talking about it now because it is blowing up on the national stage. But even though some of those that are talking about it, the reaction is insane. I want to read you this story. This is a headline over at Axios Charlotte by Mark Caputo, whoever this moron is. This is the headline. "Stabbing video fuels MAGA's crime message." This is how they describe the situation. These are the same folks that if you talk about removing United States aid for Ukraine, they claim you want Ukrainians to die. But this is the headline over at Axios Charlotte. Well, maybe it's just a bad headline. Let's just read through a little bit of it and see if it's just a bad headline. MAGA influencers are drawing repeated attention to violent acts to elevate the issue of urban crime and accuse mainstream media of undercovering shocking cases. Okay. It then goes on to read. Shocking video of the fatal August the 27th knife attack on a 23-year-old Irina Zaruska on a light rail car in Charlotte, North Carolina, dominated weekend conversations on Trump-friendly social media. The Axios article says, the big picture. The rising number of surveillance cameras in public spaces, including on Charlotte's light rail, has become a big accelerant in these cases. Right, so it's the surveillance video's fault that she was murdered? So because there's video of it, we should talk about it? Because so-called MAGA influencers are drawing attention to it, we should talk about it? We shouldn't cover a 23-year-old woman minding her own business getting murdered? It's not a big enough story, I guess, for Axios. The video is easily shared or leaked. It wasn't leaked. And can instantly pollinate across social media a visual counterpoint to statistics showing crime decreases. President Trump, asked about the Charlotte video by a reporter on Sunday, said he wanted to find out more about the stabbing before commenting, which he did yesterday. The story goes on and on and on talking about this situation. Influential conservative social media accounts accused major national news outlets of not covering the racial dynamics of the Charlotte killing, a white victim and a black suspect, with the same intensity as they did with the case of Daniel Penny. Reality check. As Republicans have consistently highlighted crime, Democrats have accurately pointed out that violent crime rates have been decreasing since pre-pandemic highs. This is the kind of coverage that's being written by mainstream media outlets. Folks, if you flip the race in this story, it would have been national news for the last 18 days. You would have Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other groups, the NAACP, and everybody else on this left side of the political social justice aisle, you'd have them burning the city of Charlotte to the ground. You would have major tensions growing in that city. It would have not just popped up on most folks' radars over the weekend. It would have been discussed for the last 3 weeks. But because it doesn't fit that narrative, as I mentioned, it's not talked about, it's not discussed. You think the Axios article is bad? Take a stab and listen to this thing. This is on CNN yesterday. Now, we know CNN is a stupid, ridiculous news outlet. We know that CNN has absolutely no journalistic integrity. We know that CNN is a shell of what it was and has been in the past. Here's Brian Seltzerwater on CNN talking about this story yesterday. This was probably the most shocking thing I saw or read yesterday.
Really, over the weekend, Elon Musk, Charlie Kirk, other Trump-aligned figures succeeded in making this senseless death a symbol of big city crime. We heard President Trump asked about it yesterday when he was heading home from New York City. He didn't seem to know much about it. He said he would get briefed. And then today, Trump did know all about it. That's exactly what has happened here. This story has trickled up from local news to social media and now to the president's attention. And it's being used, as you said, Brianna, as a political symbol, with MAGA media calling for more forceful punishments and more incarceration. I have to say, some of the replies to Musk, some of the comments around this story are baldly racist, stoking fear of African Americans because this man attacked a white woman. The open racism on sites like X today, it's eye-popping. But there are also legitimate questions about this so-called career criminal, someone who had been a repeat offender. And those questions, I hope they're not lost amid all of the cesspool kind of comments on social media.
Ah, yes. So if you decide to discuss this situation, if you decide to have an opinion or talk about it, let's go back to the Rolodex of political issues that Democrats use. You're a racist. Good to know. So if you have any comments on a 14-time criminal who happens to be black murdering a white woman in Charlotte, you are part of the cesspool and you are, in fact, a racist. Gotcha. That was probably the most shocking clip I saw yesterday. And I saw a lot of really stupid things on social media yesterday. That takes the cake. That is the that gets the award for the most ridiculous comment on this situation thus far. I'll note, even more stupid than the Axios headline, even more ridiculous than the original statement from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, even more ridiculous than the tone-deaf statement from Democrat Governor, former AG Josh Stein. That really takes the cake. So because, again, it doesn't fit CNN's narrative, they can't turn it into a race issue, which they love to do, right? They were the first ones on the front line for every BLM and Antifa protest across the country during the summer of peace and love in 2020 when the George Floyd situation unfolded. They were the first ones on the front line stoking racism, stoking racial divide between the American people. Because these outlets like CNN, they profit on this. They profit on people being divided. One of their goals is to pit people against each other, whether it's political lines, religious lines, race lines, gender lines. They love and consistently try and pit people against each other. Any sort of harmony in our country doesn't really fit their narrative and doesn't really provide them any level of success. We've seen example after example. Look at the situation with the MS-13 gang member from Maryland. How much news coverage did this guy get? What was his name? Abrego Garcia, whatever the hell his name was. Wife-beating MS-13 gang member deported out of the United States. The biggest national news story for weeks on end. Not even a United States citizen. Breaking news on CNN, 24/7, 365. Trump's a racist. Republicans are racist. Yet, 18 days ago, a Ukrainian refugee, also in the country, happened to actually be legally in the country, which doesn't fit their narrative either. But a Ukrainian refugee getting stabbed in the neck 3 times and having her life taken from her on a Charlotte train in a deep blue Democrat city, we'll just walk the other way. No commentary there at all. You wonder why CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, why all of these outlets continue to dwindle in their audience. Why these outlets continue to struggle to pull any level of audience compared to what they do, what they have in the past. Maybe it's got something to do with the comment that you just heard from Brian Seltzer, immediately pivoting away from the issue at hand, which is violent repeat offender criminals being released by Democrats into, well, you know, there's a lot of racism on X. Anybody that comments on this situation is openly a racist, and it's eye-popping. It's a hell of a narrative switch there, Brian. Great work, as always, from the good people over at CNN. So let's get back to some actual adults in the room, some actual realities of this situation, contrary to what the lamestream media wants to talk about. Here is Congressman Tim Moore. He is the Republican out of the 14th Congressional District, which does represent a large portion of the Charlotte metro area, former Speaker of the North Carolina House. He was on the floor of the United States House last night about this situation. This is what the congressman had to say.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise this evening with a heavy heart because Irina Zarutska should still be alive. She fled Ukraine seeking safety and freedom, and instead she was stabbed to death in a Charlotte light rail car by a 14-time criminal who should never have been back on the streets. In fact, a person who had skipped bond on 3 occasions in the past. Leftist politicians and judges who have enabled this violent repeat offender to walk have blood on their hands. As a representative of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, I'm not going to stay silent while innocent people pay the price for broken bail policies and soft on crime judges. That's why I'm proud to co-lead co-chairwoman Stefanik's Keeping Violent Offenders Off Our Streets Act, which will make it harder for violent criminals to slip through the cracks and walk free without proper review. In fact, it may even hold federal funds away from local governments that refuse to follow the law and allow these soft on crime policies. Folks in Charlotte and folks throughout this entire country deserve to feel safe. The system failed Irina, and if we don't fix it now, it will fail again. With that, Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Plain and simple. I don't really need to comment much more on what House Speaker or former House Speaker Congressman Tim Moore said. 100% right. Policies by the radical left, policies by Democrats in Charlotte and in the state, Attorney General Josh Stein, former Governor Roy Cooper, former Attorney General Roy Cooper, have allowed people like this, a 14-time career criminal, to walk free, to consistently get slaps on the wrist, to be released in early January of this year on a hope, wish, and a prayer, signing a note that he would absolutely return, so on and so forth. I mean, you don't need to see any more examples. And so the real question then starts becoming, when do people start waking up and come to the reality of what's going on? Got getting some commentary in on the show this morning on our live channels and so on and so forth. And the question earlier was, so do elections matter? Bruce was commenting in on our show this morning. I think they do. And the question is, will this be a big enough wake-up call for people in Charlotte? As I mentioned yesterday, and I'll pull up again, we have a meeting tonight in Wilmington. Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell having a post go viral on social media over the weekend saying, quote, "The brutal murder of Irina Zarewski by a homeless 14-time repeat offender on Chicago public transit should be a wake-up call to every city in North Carolina. This is on our doorstep, not just something happening elsewhere. In Wilmington, I will continue to fight with everything I have to keep our city from spiraling out of control, hopefully passing our public camping ordinance on Tuesday. We must give law enforcement and the court and our court system the tools they need to keep our citizens safe from violence, theft, and disorder. I've heard some of my colleagues here in Wilmington and also in Charlotte say, quote, we can't arrest our way out of these problems. The truth is, if this man had been arrested and incarcerated properly, Irina would still be alive. We must demand public safety as a top priority and stop tolerating weak leadership that allows lawlessness to take root." And that's what you're going to see unfold tonight at the Wilmington City Council meeting. They discussed this public camping ordinance. You heard outcry from city businesses back 1 month ago pleading with the Democrats on the Wilmington City Council to do something to clean up homelessness, to clean up some of the vagrant activity that's happening. And what did Bill Saffo, led by Mayor Bill Saffo and the rest of the Democrats on council, Andrews, Joyner, Barnett, and Kevin Spears, what did they do? They kicked the can down the road once again. We'll deal with it in the September meeting. So here we are, September 9th, City Council meeting at their brand new meeting facility at the City Skyline Center later on tonight. This is on the agenda. I look forward to some fiery comments from Councilman Luke Waddell. And I want to hear, I want these Democrats here locally put on trial. I want them put on trial over their stances. I want them to face the music during that City Council meeting tonight. And I hope members of the public that speak before the meeting and Councilmember Luke Waddell and Charlie Rivenbark put these Democrats on trial and force them to answer for their ridiculous policies. Answer for it. It's what the public wants to hear. You guys support this garbage. You guys support these weak on soft on crime policies. Well, here's your opportunity to answer for it. I'm fed up. I've had enough. As I mentioned yesterday on the show, and I guarantee you, I'll bet every dollar I've got, tonight you're going to hear about compassion and wraparound services, and we don't have enough money and we need to spend more. It's the same old sorry playbook from those on the political left. oh, we need to be compassionate with the homeless, and we need to be compassionate with the guy smoking crack on 3rd Street at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. We need to be compassionate with the guy that's got a heroin needle sticking out of his arm, chasing a family through the streets in downtown Wilmington. We just need to be more compassionate. And God forbid you say that these folks need to be either institutionalized or thrown in prison. Then you're a heartless bastard that hates the homeless people. You hate homeless. I've heard it over the last month. You're trying to make it illegal to be homeless. That's always the solution from those on the left. And I'm sure you'll hear more of that tonight as the progressives on the council, as the members, specifically Celette Andrews, Tim Joyner, of course, council member Kevin Spears. I'm sure he'll have a couple of good commentary, some good commentary tonight, as always, during the council meeting. You'll hear the same garbage and same crap from them. There's no answers. There's no solutions. It's placating. It's gaslighting to their voting base. It's an attempt to win over the progressive left, get a pat on the back from the NAACP and Antifa and BLM and all these other left-wing activist groups, just to get a pat on the back that they're being a good progressive and they're fighting back against the oligarchy, fighting back against the police state, and fighting back against all of these terrible, awful Republicans. It's shameful. There's no answers. There's no solutions. It's just blabber. It's just words. They don't equate to anything. They don't mean anything. There's no action that's taken from it. And I'm looking forward to some of these Democrats getting torched on council tonight and having to answer these questions. Okay. We just saw what happened in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago. You ready for that to happen in Wilmington? Because I can guarantee you it will. I can promise you it will. And unfortunately, it might be a situation where it has to happen here before people are willing to make a change. I don't hope that that happens. I don't wish that that happens. I don't pray that that happens. But folks, we know it will. We know what these policies result in. We know the end result here. It happens in city after city after city. It's like taking a stamp and you just stamp it all around the United States. It's the same garbage and same crap everywhere where Democrats have control. They've tried their policies for the last 15 or 20 years, judicial reform, soft on crime, compassion this, compassion that. This is what it looks like. This is the end result. I've got a couple of other quick things that I do want to get into with this, this story. Caught an interesting clip from a member of the Chicago City Council, a Democrat by the name of Raymond Lopez. He was on Fox and Friends yesterday morning. Take a listen to what I can't believe this clip hasn't gotten more around social media. Take a listen to what he said about some of his Democrat colleagues. This was pretty eye-opening.
This is happening in every major city that are controlled in many cases by Democrats. This young Ukrainian woman was fatally stabbed by this repeat offender because there's liberal Democrat leadership, much like your old, DA Kim Fox in Chicago, Cook County, that want to release these people when they've been violent before and they escalate to murder.
You know, there's a false sense that you could make up for the sins of the past by forgiving the sins of the present. And that's simply not the case. What we need to be is the party that stands up for people, for families, like we used to be, the party that believes in being a safety net, but also in accountability. And sadly, the Democratic Party doesn't want to be that right now. They think that standing up for law and order is only a Republican issue, that if you hear the president say we need to make cities safe again, that somehow that is something that we need to stand up against. And history will prove the Democratic Party wrong in this moment. There are very few of us who are standing up to say, no, we do not need to move the goalpost that far to the left to be relevant. And unfortunately, we have a small segment of our electorate who thinks that that is the right way to go. We see that in the candidacy of people like Zohran Mamdani and others who think that going left of left and now left of that is the course of the Democratic Party. But if we want to be of relevance, we need to get back to the center.
And you're even starting to see Democrats. Again, this is a Democrat member of the Chicago City Council saying in an attempt to right the wrongs of the past, we need to allow people to essentially get murdered in the streets in cold blood, saying how history will eventually, the history books will be written and it will prove that Democrats have been dead wrong about dealing with crime. That should be pretty eye-opening. And obviously some, like Josh Stein, Roy Cooper, who, by the way, hasn't said jack shit about this situation. Surprise, surprise. Roy Cooper hasn't said anything. He sent out one of his spokes holes to Politico yesterday. This was the comment. Again, yeah, Roy Cooper doesn't want to have anything to say here again because it makes him look like a complete utter buffoon. His press spokesperson, Kate Smart, said, quote, "Roy Cooper knows North Carolinians need to be safe in their communities. He spent his career prosecuting violent criminals and drug dealers, increasing the penalties for violent actions against law enforcement, and keeping thousands of criminals off the streets and behind bars." So that's what old Roy has to say. Teflon Roy. Good guy Roy. Moderate Roy. Ah, shucks Roy. That's what he's got going on. Sending out one of his interns to Politico to release a statement. Because again, what do you say? All of the things that I believe, all of the policies that I support are a failure. What do you say? Everything that I believe is a lie. The stuff that I want to support, the things I want to implement don't work. Can't say that. So we'll just, I stopped criminals in the past. Go for me. I'm Roy Cooper. That's it. We'll end with this comment this morning. Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, was on Fox News' Hannity show last night and had this to say about the public transportation systems across the United States and really evil people. Take a listen.
You know, the president said these are evil people, and he's right, but it's also evil politicians, like the mayor, the city council, the DA, the governor in North Carolina, evil people with evil policies that are actually destroying communities. So the problem, Sean, is a lot of people, like the rich liberal, they can't ride Uber, they don't have a driver, they don't have a vehicle, they actually have to ride public transportation. And public transportation has become an epidemic of violence and homelessness across the country. And so we don't have a ton of equities at DOT, but we do have money. Your federal tax dollars go to fund a lot of these transit systems across the country. And we have to look at them and say, well, maybe it's appropriate that we start pulling some of that money back, because I don't think the American taxpayer wants to pay for the homelessness and criminal element that harm little 23-year-old girls like this who are going home from work from ordering a pizza. That they're going to get stabbed in the neck, and liberals want to hide that story so you and I don't talk about it, so the American people don't know that their failed policies don't work for the American people.
Sean Duffy absolutely lighting it up on Hannity last night, and I'll end with this. Something to chew on throughout the day. For the folks of diversity, equity, and inclusion, the DEI crowd, let's look at who is riding public transit. For the most part, people taking advantage of public transit, not everybody, but for the most part, public transit is made available for folks that do not have the financial means to purchase or drive a vehicle themselves, folks that cannot afford a $15 or $25 Uber. And so they have to take advantage and fortunately are able to take advantage of public transit. And so when you've got public transit like the light rail system in Charlotte that has turned into essentially a rolling homeless camp, because they don't check tickets. In case you're not familiar with this, if you've never seen the light rail in Charlotte, it's an above ground trolley essentially that stops at like a regular bus stop, and it's automated and it just runs back and forth on the line all day. So unless there's somebody there checking a ticket, there's no turnstile, there's no security thing to go through. You just walk up to it like it's a bus stop. It's a floating above ground a platform that it sits on. It's not a New York City subway system that runs underground that you have to go through turnstiles. It is essentially, as it's set up right now, it's just a trust system. You buy a ticket if you want to ride it. But as we talked about yesterday and played the report from WBT Radio, you've got homeless people that are riding these trains all day and night. Nobody's checking tickets. There's no security. It's turned into a rolling homeless encampment. And so where's the equity in this? What about the people that, again, can't afford any other form of transportation, that have to take advantage of the Charlotte light rail and have to worry about getting murked on the train by a deranged sociopath that should be in prison or in a mental hospital? Where's their equity? Well, we're the party of equity after all, right? We're the party of DEI. Where's the equity there, folks? Just another failed Democrat policy. They don't care about homelessness. They don't care about crime. They don't care about DEI. They don't care about any of this crap. It's just all talking points. And because when you actually test any of this stuff and give it even the littlest bit of scrutiny and really put it to the test, it immediately shatters. It immediately crumbles in their hands. There's nothing, there's no substance to it at all. It's just talking points. So keep that in mind and chew on that throughout the day next time you have to listen to some stupid liberal professing diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's talk about the equity here. People that don't have the availability, don't have the advantage of having a car, have to take public transit. How equitable is it then that they have to fear that they're going to get stabbed on the train by a deranged criminal? Where's the equity there? Maybe some of the folks in Charlotte will wake up to the reality that they've created. Unfortunately, I'm not going to hold my breath on it because, like every other story, the attention will move away and it'll go back to the way it's always been. It's very, very unfortunate. So we'll keep an eye on the national discussion on this today as I've been glancing over at the news this morning. Charlotte, or right now, Fox News is showing these 14 mugshots. They continue to talk about it. CNN is talking about ICE raids, of course, and MSNBC's in a commercial. So the national conversation and coverage does continue. I'll keep an eye on it throughout the day as well. Of course, eyes here locally. All will be on the city council meeting tonight to see what happens with some of the homeless ordinances and public camping ordinances there. I'll have full coverage of that coming up tomorrow morning. Plus, we'll be joined by State Auditor Dave Bolick. A new report out from the Battleship North Carolina. He'll join us coming up Thursday morning. Special guest alert for that Thursday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, thanks to everybody for joining us this morning. Don't forget to share the Nick Craig Show around with your friends and family. Keep them up to date on what's going on here in southeastern North Carolina. And thanks to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Give Melissa Gott and her team a call, 910-251-6088 or lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Tuesday edition. We're back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.